Blog Talk Radio.
Grind. You get what you want to be, you know that you gotta grind.
Control that from there. All right, now welcome. Hey. Welcome to Grindology, where we study all things professional. I am Lisette Hernton, your host, and today, guys, we will be talking about the effective ways of debating for entrepreneurs. See, you think that, you know, just because, you know, debating is, you know, one of them things that they leave to the politicians when it's election time. How does it affect us? How does it benefit us as entrepreneurs? Well, I'm here to talk about that today. But before we get started, first of all, I just got to let you guys know, like, man, we're here. We're in the studio, TTLO, taking the limits off radio all day. What we do, guys, we do big things. I just have to let you know. Right now, we do big things. On Mondays, we have Missional Mondays with Reverend Dr. Dana King. He kicks off the weekends with us, giving us all the good topics that was going on that's going to help you get your soul right. Then, of course, my girl is coming back October 26th, right?
7th.
I was off one day. October 27th. Dr. Kimberly Thomas, Healthy Soul Talk. She's coming back in the house, guys. She's going to get our minds right. And, of course, on Thursdays, you got your girl, Grindology, where we discuss all things professional, just a little bit of unprofessional. And definitely on Fridays, we have Praise Break Fridays with, of course, Reverend Dr. Dana King. He closes out the week. Giving us a good reason to give God praise. And that's how we do it right here at TTLO. So, you know, if you want to hit us up, you know, feel free to always reach out to us. See, now, normally I don't go through the whole process of talking about the call-in number and stuff. I used to be so adamant about that. I had my whole little script down. Mm-hmm. Look at, I didn't just got in here and just got beside myself. Been acting like I don't know how to conduct business. However, guys, it has been a great, great week. I don't know about you guys, but I've been grinding all week. I've been knocking down 12-hour shifts, going to bed at 12 o'clock, but it's all for the good. It's all for the good. I can't deny that. But here's a good reason behind doing this this topic today. Because, of course, yesterday we had, you know, the Vice President 2020 debate. Oh, my God, with I'm going to already call her Vice President. Vice President Kamala Harris. And then, of course, Vice President Pence, guys. And I just do not, you know, first of all, I was actually happy that we had a debate with substance. Because that presidential debate, guys, I don't even know what to say. I had to put my post out there. My post was the face that you make when when your 2020 presidential debate looks like a world star hip hop fight at McDonald's. Because I was just like, really, people telling people shut up, people like going through, I'm like, people ain't just talking over people. And I was just like, I just don't know what the heck we looking at right now. It's like, you know how, you know, the Bible say when you argue with a fool, you look like a fool.
Absolutely.
So it was just like, that's basically what I seen. It was like two fools arguing, you know, and we already know, you know, one of the politicians is, you know, straight foolery.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're arguing or trying to, you know, he just got under Joe Biden's skin.
He got under everybody's skin.
He got under that man's skin. And my thing is, here's the thing, right? I believe when you know a person, like we know in terms of who he is, he's straightforward. You know, that's the only thing I can give. He comes from the hip. He is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. And knowing that, someone should have prepared my man
mm-hmm.
to be able to address this debate accurately and effectively. You already know he was going to come off like extra doing the most. You already know he was going to say the things that make you want to turn around and slap him.
But he went beyond what he normally did. He was extra. Like, he's always been a clown, but mm-hmm. he was in full circus mode.
I mean, but you knew he was going to bring the whole ring.
But you didn't
out,
expect
right?
him to, like, disrespect the moderator, too, though.
Right. Like, really? You didn't think that, though?
Because he didn't do that with Hillary.
I mean, yeah, that's true. It was just something, guys. All I can say that was I just was like, what the hell is this? Like, really? Like, I just was like, I woke up that morning and I was like, this is what our world has come. This is what America's then came to. Corona and people cussing each other out.
Yes.
Corona and cussing. That's just, I don't know what that is. But what I can say, guys, was that, like, yesterday I was actually happy that, you know, we had some substance. You know, I have to give, you know, Senator Harris, like, props. Like, she came, you know, out, you know, from the hip. You know, she gave him. See, what I loved about it, and see, this is the funny thing, guys. Black people communicate and talk about the debate different than white people, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about stuff, we talk about the look. We talk about when she turned around and checked him, like, I'm still talking, okay? And I like that. I was like, and then, you know, for us as black people, we're like, she checked him. All we could talk about as black folk was not the point. It was the fact that she checked him and all those looks. She had like 20 different looks. Mm-hmm. She had the nigga please look. You seen the nigga please look.
You said that out loud? Okay, twice.
She was like.
Make sure I heard it. I didn't hear it the first time. I heard it real good the second time.
She was like, you know what that look is though, right? You know what the ninja please look is, right?
Don't say, oh, now it's ninja.
I already said ninja.
You're too late now,
like,
ninja.
It's a nigga out there, right? But I'm just saying, he did the, you know, the look. Mm-hmm. So we all know what that look was, right? It was that, like, you know, like, please. Then she had one of them looks like, you know you didn't effed up right. You know, right, she had right, he had right. said something, and she gave him that look like, now you know you done effed up. And then she came back to him like, oh, so you want to talk about this, right? Okay, let's talk about this. You know you done effed up right. So I just love the fact that, you know, she said a lot without saying nothing. And with that, guys, all we could do as Black folks is talk about the fly on the head, because I know I did. I had to put my 2 cents on the fly that was just sitting on his head, because I just feel like...
The fly blessed my whole spirit. My spirit. My feet got light.
Your soul.
My soul got happy. I said... That fly said, I am unmovable. Huh?
I shall not
he
be
said,
moved.
He said, I shall not be moved. Huh? He said, I done found me a resting place. Oh, my God. Hey.
I mean, he sat there. It was like, you know, it's one of them Africa flies.
He
you know, the Africa
I,
flies you can't get rid of.
He said, I shall be whiter than snow. He said, I landed in a good spot.
He said
spot.
He was rooted.
Huh?
And grounded.
Come on.
Why is it that it, with us in social media, we always got to talk about the craziness?
And dude did a video too.
The man, was it John?
Yes. The guy who does the voices for the.
Right,
he
right.
did a video.
What did he do?
He did a video. I'm about
oh
to find
God.
It.
Oh, my God. We got to find
he
it.
He did a video.
We got to find it.
Oh, God. I forgot. I saw it early this morning.
All I can say,
yes.
guys, was that it was. It was crazy.
Yes.
I mean, I woke up, but I had to say that. I said, you know, it's funny. You know, flies gravitate to crap. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Because it was crazy. One thing I can say, he was a little bit more classy.
Yeah.
He was classier than the president. That's all I can say about that. You know, he had a little bit more... you know, grace about itself, you know, so I had to respect that, even though he had something going on with the eye. I think he had the eye of the corona.
Somebody said
and,
he had pink eye.
It was a little scary. You know what, at first, when he first sat down, I didn't see it though. Like when he first sat down, I didn't see it. I think he started developing that thing in his eye. When,
well, you know where they say pink eye come from, don't you?
Where? Oh, no.
It's from fecal matter. Huh? Yeah, I ain't playing. It's what,
so it all adds up,
that's
right?
That's why the fly was hanging around. Huh?
The fecal matter.
Look how I put the two things together.
It all, see?
Flies
see?
And fecal.
That's all it was. That's all it was. Because he
a
was
fly,
talking a
fecal,
lot of crazy
huh?
stuff.
I
you
told
know?
You.
You know, and at the end of the day, like, you know, like, when you look at it, it's just, when you really get into the substance of the debate, right, guys, we're really looking at the fact that, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they had both their viewpoints, you know, Senator Harris actually, you know, like I said, she did her thing, you know, and she was a little bit more cordial. You know, Pence was, you know, out there. He kept going past his time and he kept trying to over talk and pass talk and under talk everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that just really.
But can
know,
I first, can I go back though to what she just said before I. And then can I go back? And,
right. He just
but,
kept
but,
going
yeah,
back.
I heard your question, but can I go back?
He just kept going back to. I'm like, dude. I'm like, you can't address the issue that is before you because you're too busy trying to. You know, debate. But one of the things, which is really what it was, but he was trying to prove the points that he wanted to prove, and he didn't care how long it went. But then I liked that the, you know, the mediator was like basically, you know, letting him know like you out of line.
Yeah.
You know, you out of line. You know, your administration, your party said that y'all was gonna agree to this, and by golly, I'm going to make sure that you guys stay within those reins. And I'm like, but then I liked when Senator Harris was like, okay, you know, he used up some of my time. So I'm going to continue what I got to say. So, you know, it was really, for me, it was a good debate, guys. It was a good debate. And that really what is what leading us to what we're talking about today, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we effectively debate as entrepreneurs? Why is that skill so important for us? Not just, you know, in professional lives, but why is that particular skill set so important as an entrepreneur? You know, so we're going to talk about the 12 ways. And let's start with the first one, because we got a couple of them. Right. So one of the great skills and the most effective skill of debating is to be a better critical thinker. You know, so like while you might not debate on a day to day basis, chances are you will get involved in like small disagreements and differences every now and then, and debating instead of arguing, because there's a difference, right? When you debate, you know, you prove you have a particular stance, you prove your point, and you identify that particular point so you can win, right? So arguing is what the presidents did in the first debate. They weren't debating. They were arguing. And for me, I was like, okay, this doesn't make any sense, you know. But debating instead of arguing, right, can help you diffuse a rapidly escalating situation. See, that's the whole point of debating. When you can critically think about what is going on in a specific situation that you're encountering, whether it's professional, whether it's, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to think critically. But to do that, you know, it helps. It helps diffuse issues. One of the things, like, I feel like I master that. Like, I try to de-escalate issues way in the jump. A lot of times, what one of the things, not with you, Bae, that's a totally different thing. I fight, I argue with you. We fight. But when you debate, it's a whole nother different thing. When we debate, it's a totally different thing, right? You know, rather than raising your voice, our presidents did, take a step back and choose your words wisely. A lot of times, I had to understand that it pays more to listen than it is to always want to argue your point. You know, sometimes in the listening aspect, it gives you the ability in that specific time to think. You know, let me think about, you know, not you have to actively listen. I feel like it's respectful to actively listen, because we have some people that they are thinking about what they're trying to say while the person is talking, and all you're trying to do is really communicate your point. But when it comes to, you know, thinking as you're actually listening, it allows you to communicate and choose your words. Sometimes we the type of people, we cut from the hip. You know, we say things that we shouldn't say, you know. we before you know it, we done said something and the response is jacked up. Now you can't return from it, and a lot of people don't really care about returning back from it. They just gonna say what they gonna say, and you can either love it or leave it alone. That's how it really ends. But debating helps you to develop essential critical thinking skills, the ability to make reasoned and well thought out arguments, in addition to questioning the evidence behind a particular stance. So guys, one of the best skill sets that we can have when it comes to debating as an entrepreneur is critical thinking. You have to think on your feet. You have to be ready to do what is necessary and respond in the best ways. Critical thinking will help you become curious about new ideas, and also retaining a level of, you know, just your thought process and building a healthy attitude to question. Sometimes, you know, we're so used to wanting to argue our opinion, we don't know how to effectively ask the right question. You know, so when you think about critically thinking or critical thinking, think about what it is, what is your goal when you're having this communication? Sometimes I don't even talk if it don't even, you know, if it's not worth it. You have some people that just love to talk. They love to talk about whatever it is that's going on. They always got an input.
They like to hear their own voice.
Yeah. And I'm like, for me, outside of here, and I'm going to be 100, and my husband can vouch for this, but 100, outside of here and having to talk, I don't really talk unless spoken to. I think after this, I think I meet my quota on Thursdays. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes you know how you get down to Friday and you just don't want to talk to nobody because you have done, right now, the way everything is in the world, meetings about meetings. You done talked in so many meetings. You done had 18 different Zoom meetings. I had 6 meetings yesterday, all with different individuals. And it was just like after that 6th meeting, I was done. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just sitting there in the chair and just staring off. My mom walking in, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm just shutting off. You know, you got to learn how to shut off. But it also helps you to become more humble. You know, when you're critically thinking or when you're operating in the skill set of critical thinking, it allows you to be more humble. It allows you to think effectively, and it also allows you to communicate effectively and make the right decisions, you know, because Lord knows we don't like making the wrong decisions. Just thinking off the fly. I don't like that. Sometimes I think, you know, sometimes the old saying goes, if you study long, you study wrong. I don't think that. I think that, you know, sometimes you just have to think certain things through. Because if sometimes you shoot off the hip, it's not a good look. So let's talk about the second one, right? The second effective skill set that you have to have with debating that will be helpful as an entrepreneur, right? It's articulating your thoughts, you know, knowing how to effectively articulate, because that's one of the things that they do in debating. You can't just be mumbling off words and, you know, talking and don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. Ever had that feeling, guys, like, you know, when you just can't get through words, you can't get those words out, right? You just can't find the right words and you can't speak it quickly enough. Debating can help you become even better at explaining a whole variety of topics, from explaining complex mathematical equations to the plot line of your favorite book. Debating helps you to identify your audience and choose the appropriate tone. See, that's the thing. Tone is everything. I had a situation where, and I always tell my children this, like, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know, it's not what you know, you can ask for something or you can communicate effectively if your tone is in the right place. If you come down and, you know, and talk to me and be like, you know, hey, G, this, that, and the other. Oh, you got the wrong tone. You got the wrong tone when you come to me. But if you come to me in a respectful tone, because that makes a difference, it helps people to understand more, you know, what are you trying to say? You know, what are you trying to do? Too formal of a tone will only alienate you from your listener. So if you get in there and you start sounding like the teacher off of Ferris Bueller and like your tone is just so straightforward, it just cuts people off. Like people are like, look, I'm done. I didn't tune out right, you know, as soon as you said hello. I mean, it's just one of those things, like the tone has to be there. You know, you have to be able to grasp your listeners. And I can say that Senator Harris, her tone was good. You know, she had, it was the right mix. It was like years, like you had that years of earthiness professional with sister girl mixed in with it. But it wasn't too like this. But, you know, anytime a black woman flips her hair, like, and she flipped her hair, like, I was like, okay, yeah, she got a nice little balance there.
I was telling Latanya, I said that the sad part is only when it's a female that they start talking about whether or not you're likable.
Yeah.
So she had to, like, walk this tightrope of not being the angry black woman.
Exactly.
And all her facial expressions, all this kind of stuff. But I'm like, Donald Trump been making faces for the 4 years. He's been 3.5 years. He's been in office. Don't nobody
he's
say
many
nothing.
Faces.
But a woman make a face, and all of a sudden, oh, she's not likable.
But
why is she making those faces?
Always,
and
you know they,
and they only do that with women.
With Hillary. Specifically
with women,
but they even harder on African American.
Oh yeah,
because
we come off
that.
As angry. They did it with Michelle.
Yep,
they did it with Michelle.
They did it exactly with Michelle Obama. Like, you know, when she came out and she started shooting from the hip and from the heart, they were like, oh no, like, you know, she's a little too spicy for this. You know, like, she's the angry black woman. And so, and you know, we always have to. It's like, it's one of those hard things. Like, even as a professional, I don't care where you are, as an African-American woman, when you're in a particular position, seat, whether it's management or whatever, it's like they always have to identify your tone. You know, they have always have to judge your tone. Is your tone coming off as the angry? I have to check sometimes. And the funny thing about it is, like, when I'm at work, I check my tone. You know, like, I'm more mindful of how I'm communicating, because sometimes it can be really direct and sometimes it can come off really, you know, really harsh. And I'm like, oh, OK, I don't want to get labeled as the angry, you know, black woman, you know, when I'm voiceful. So I have to be careful to, you know, keep that professional tone. Even if you call it professional tone, because I feel like if I'm direct, just like I am now. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm just being me, you know, but that's one of those things, guys. The ability to articulate and plan your thoughts is the key to debating. Producing a well-planned out and sharp argument, guys, makes the difference. Just real talk, it makes the difference. Let's go to the third skill, education. Education is key. In any debate, the argument matters, right? Even if you don't agree with it on principle, right? The manner in which you deliver your winning speech is an incredible, important process, right? Keeping calm, maintaining eye contact, you know, and all proven and effective debating techniques. Last but not least, right, the method in which you put your debate together. Are your arguments coherent? Do they make sense? That's why it's important not only for you as an entrepreneur to educate yourself on your views. If you have a particular stance or a particular view about something, identify, you know, and study to understand why, so that you can effectively articulate, you know, the why. You know, if you can just say, you know, I don't like Donald Trump. Okay, if that's your stance and that's what you're debating, then why not? You know, we have a lot of reasons why we don't. But educating yourself to, you know, effectively articulate that makes a difference, you know, and that's one of the debating skills that's important for you to have, right? So a good debater will keep all these things in mind, in addition to the core elements they have acquired through education, reading and finding sources, writing and drafting their speech, speaking confidently, and being able to listen. You know, all these things are useful, you know, and we have to look at those situations. Like, you know, sometimes we want to, like my husband say, self-teach ourselves. You know, we want to be self-taught. You know, we don't like nobody to teach us anything. We just want to learn. But guys, education and the way we obtain these particular skill sets have changed. You don't have to go to Harvard and get a 4-year degree or a 12-year degree or a bachelor, or a double bachelor, triple master, 2 PhDs to educate yourself. Educating yourself is utilizing all resources that are available for the time that you can engage in it, and as well resources that are available that you can be able to sit into a classroom or engage with others in it. You know, so it's really, really extremely important to do that. So before we go to our fourth effective point, let's do this. Let's go to a quick break. Let me get some water in my system. Water. I like that with the D. water in my system, and let's kind of like, you know, let that sizzle in your spirit right there. First one, guys, you have to always make sure that you are a critical thinker. You got to think critically about these things. Second, you have to know how to articulate your thoughts. You got to know what you're saying. You got to know how to communicate that particular thing so that people can listen. Because if you're just jumbling around, people start to tune you out. And you got to educate yourself. Educate yourself on your values, the things you believe in, the things that you stand for. You got to educate yourself as an entrepreneur. Why are you choosing this particular road to entrepreneurship? You know, some people ask that question. A lot of people ask me that all the time. Why did you want to start a business? Why did you want to do this particular field? Why did you want to go into this industry? And you have to know how to communicate about that, your why. You also got to know how to educate yourself about your industry. Just because you're in it don't mean that you know everything about it. That's one thing. Like, I've learned that, okay, there's so many different facets to nonprofits. There's so many different facets to social enterprises and small businesses. Every day I have to learn something more to educate myself about those particular things, especially as it relates to technology. Technology changes all the time. So be a critical thinker, articulate, and educate yourself. Those are the first three. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about the other effective skill sets that you have to have, the debating effective skill sets that you got to have as an entrepreneur, right here on Grindology. Yep. We are back. Thank you so much once again. This is Grindology, and today's topic we're talking about today is the effective debating skills. I had to get it out from my Shondo. I told you I ain't even drink none of this water. See, I got to rehydrate myself. The effective ways to debate as an entrepreneur, the effective skills, like, you know, the skills that we need. Oh, that's some high quality H2O. So let's talk about the fourth skill that you should have as an entrepreneur, the fourth debating skill that you should have as an entrepreneur. Fourth one is think on your feet. You got to be able to think on your feet. Think outside of the box. Challenge your opponent and be ready to identify any loopholes in the counter argument. The ability to think on your feet and respond to questions and comments is essential while debating. See, here's the thing. I was still going back to the fly. I was trying to understand why. Are you telling me to put the top back on?
And move it out.
Okay, look at God. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I was trying to understand why didn't Senator Harris, because I know she's seen that fly on his head. I would have probably just been like, why are you talking? You know.
I know she saw it too. And she was probably like, nope, I ain't going to even do it.
I ain't going to even do it. I'm going to let this marinate.
He did not know. I'm going to let that booger hang out your nose on national TV.
The same thing, like, but you know, here's the thing, you can either use it as ammunition or you could be able to, like, just let it linger, right? So, you know, somebody sitting there and they talking like goofy right. stuff, and you be like, you know, you got a booger in your nose. That right there just kills that whole person's, like, spirit when you say something like that. Like, you know, you got a fly, he ain't going nowhere, he's sitting there, and I think he sat there for like one. How many minutes?
Three.
He sat there for three.
Three whole minutes.
3 minutes.
Right.
He should have sat there for 8, put his knee on his head. I'm just being extra right now. I'm being real extra right now. But, yeah, he sat there. But I'm just like, you got to be able to think on your feet, guys. In fact, the ability to think on your feet allows you to just, you know, it gives you a good stance. Right. In any situation that life throws at you, the ability for you to think on your feet just lets you know that you have a certain level of strength as a debater. You have a certain level of strength that you can engage in that, you know, allows you to say, okay, you know, I might, you know, trip, but I ain't gonna fall. You know, I might get caught off guard a little bit, but I know how to, you know, bounce right back. And that's one of the most effective skills you can have as a debater, as an entrepreneur, right? So let's talk about the fifth one, conflict resolution. Now, see, this is what any professional should have, you know, especially if you're a leader, because you deal with conflict all the time. You deal with conflict on your job, in your house, you know, just, you know, everywhere at church, you deal with conflict. I don't think people don't think that they don't deal with conflict at church. I think you deal with more conflict at church than you do all the other ones. But at the end of the day, knowing how to effectively resolve conflict makes a difference, right? A good debater will remain focused and won't stray from the issue they're discussing. Now, we've seen that a couple on both ends. We kind of seen that. You know, we kind of seen people stray from the issue that they're discussing, you know, because some of them just really couldn't, you know, they really didn't want to, you know, say the truth about that particular thing. Because I know that Senator Harris went on Pence for that, for COVID, for I want to say almost like.
She kept coming back to it.
It was just like, you know, but the thing is, and this is the thing that. Really, I don't think it should be a debate. Real talk, guys. I think it should be like a truth or dare. You know, I feel like you're going to give me the truth or you're going to jump into this, you know, you're going to jump into this pit of snakes or something, you know, because for me, they're asking questions and they're making points that everybody really wants to hear the response to, right? Like, I really want an honest answer about this particular thing. I want to know that, you know, you guys knew about this. And you played it to the left all the way now to the point that the president has COVID. So y'all done played this thing all the way to the point where it started affecting your whole camp. So in that action, like, you know, why? Why would you put, you know, people's families, people's seniors, grandmothers, you know, grandfathers, mothers, dads, why would you put these individuals in that type of position? I wanted to hear that. You know, like, what? Do you feel like people get points if they said they effed up?
They would, though. But see, he can't. You can't. Now, if he would have been with somebody else, he could have said, you know what? We messed up. But you can't say that. You got to stick to the Donald Trump line. If Donald Trump can say I'm the healthiest person in the world, and for all we know, he could be on, because we ain't seen him since he shot that last video.
No.
So he could be on a ventilator for all we know, tweeting, or somebody tweeting for him.
And we wouldn't know.
And you can't say nothing against him other because you're a traitor.
So I feel like, you know, in that particular stance, it was just like, oh, okay. You know, I just would wish that someone would just, you know, be 100. You know, just tell me the truth about it. Yeah, you know, this happened. You know, this happened, but no, of course, in a debate, your whole purpose is to win, right? Win. So knowing how to lose, right, graciously, this is what I love about conflict resolution, and accept your failings are important skills, you know, both in debating and during everyday life. You know, we have to graciously accept, you know, our L's. We got to catch our L's. You know, everyone will have that particular point in time to lose, right? But it's how you lose that makes the difference. And I think that that's when you have someone who only, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being someone who's driven to win. Don't get me wrong. But if you believe that losing is not inevitable, that you will never lose, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, like even Mike Tyson, remember when he was like, his record was spotless. Mm-hmm. And then he lost that one fight and he got so mad. He got so mad that was that the fight that he lost when he beat? No,
the first fight he lost was against Buster Douglas when he got knocked out in Japan when they cheated him. But then, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah.
You know, Robin Givens messed his head up.
Yeah, and then after that, he was like, I ain't going to lose no more. I'm going to bite the nigga's ear off. And that's what he did. It's just the way that you lose. What? I'm going to bite the nigga's ear off. But that's what he did. And he did it. You know, he's like, I ain't going to lose no more. I ain't going to be no more bitch. And he just went into it. I ain't going to be no more. So knowing how to effectively lose, guys, I'm trying to stay the path. I'm going to stay the path. Knowing how to effectively lose is a very skill set, and it's part of conflict resolution, right? Because here's the thing. If you don't know how to lose, what do you tend to do? Create conflict. You know, and I think we have a lot of that going on right now. It's like conflict in the room. This will also help resolve any conflicts before they have a chance to begin. You know, like if you do it, catch an L. If you catch an L, you know, you'll be good to go. So accept any criticism that comes your way. It will make you much more polished and a speaker and human being in the long run. Let's go to the sixth one, right? Show some empathy. You know, just empathize with people. You know, a successful speaker will always maintain a degree of empathy while debating. And that's one of the things I think Pence did. You know, he had that skill of empathy where Donald Trump, he I don't know. I can't even. I couldn't see an empathetic bone. And I don't know. You know, sometimes you know, even the Grinch had his heart was little, and it was like there until you know Cindy Lou Who kind of made it bigger. And
you can't really talk about that kind of stuff. I'm not. I don't. I've never watched. I don't know any of that.
You never seen?
No.
Grinch,
I was denied nursery rhymes and all of that stuff when I was little.
What you say, Tanya? I was like that. Oh my God! What about the actual Grinch?
No.
None of that?
No.
Come on now.
No.
I'm like, what was your like? No, doc. Okay, come on now, really.
That's all I had.
All right. That's all he had was his action figures, guys. That's all he had was Batman. And
never,
you know what? And it showed.
Green Eggs and Ham. I ain't know what that was. I ain't know that. No,
you ain't never. One, two.
Mm-hmm.
One fish,
no.
Two fish, red fish. Okay.
What is that? Fish.
Yeah. So silly. That's all you know. That's all he know, guys. You might not believe in what you have been assigned, but empathy will help you understand and accept beliefs of others. And that's one of the important things. That's what empathy is, just to understand the beliefs of others and respect those beliefs, you know. And that shows in a debate, you know, like when they had the conversation about, you know, Roe versus Wade. And they, you know, went into the discussion about, you know, you're a Catholic, but, you know, Pence tried to come off the hip and say, you know, but no, they out here offing babies, you know. And then she turned around like, how, you know, like checked them like, okay, really? We're like people of faith. Let me check you on that one. So it's one of those things. Understanding and accepting others' beliefs shows empathy. You know, nobody is asking you to agree with the other person. Nobody's asking that. But empathy is respecting what a person believes, right? So understanding that particular skill, I don't have to agree with you, but I can understand where you're coming from. And that shows empathy. So doing that, guys, will help you to improve your relations, your personal and professional relations with others. You know, you even have to do that sometimes unknowingly. Like with people's personalities, when you know that, like professionally, you know, whether you're an entrepreneur and you have a business, you have to deal with the personalities of your customer all the time, right? And if you're working, you have to, you know, understand and identify the personalities of your coworkers as well as your customers, right? So you have to show some, you know, empathy to people who are crazy. You know, to customers who want to come. And I know it's not easy, guys. It's not, we're not talking about how easy or difficult it is as much as it is. It's a skill set. And once you start to understand that, you don't take it personal. You know, and a lot of times when we get into our emotions, when we have crazy coworkers or, you know, coworkers who are jerks or, you know, customers who are, you know, buttholes. It's just like you go to that point of just saying, okay, I understand your personality and I'm going to let you be crazy by yourself. And that shows empathy. That's how it is. So let's go to the seventh one, right? Keep your emotions in check. That's one thing about debating. You have to keep your emotions in check. I think that's kind of one of them things. I don't think like, okay, like you said, in the first presidential debate with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, he wasn't like that.
Hmm.
But the second one, he was, it was like he was more emotional than he was in the first one.
That's because he was told he lost the first debate.
So he was trying to come out winning. He pulled the Mike Tyson. I'm about to,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's like when you're a good debater, right, you retain elements of poise and composure, you know, addressing the issue rather than getting carried away emotionally, right? In fact, managing your emotions will not only put you in a good stand while you're debating, it is also, it's one of those things that it puts you in a position where your opponent doesn't really know what you're thinking based off of what they're saying. When you keep your emotions in check, like I'm not going to let you bother that. One of the things is you could still see on Senator Harris, like her facial expressions, and you know, you could pretty much like translate what she was saying in her facial expressions. But the emotions in check, you can tell, like her level of smile would tell you where she was in a particular process. Like if she smiled really big and looked at the, you know, the mediator and was like, you better get him. Like, you know, she had one of them smiles. Like, do you hear him? I think you need to go ahead and cut him off right now, you know, before it gets to her, you know. But it was just the poise and the composure. And even, you know, Vice President Pence, he actually had, you know, poise and composure too, even though he may push past his level of his time limit.
Yeah.
He still kind of like, you know, kept his composure.
I was hoping, and again, I it's easy to say it after the fact, but when he started talking about certain stuff that we knew that he was just outright being false about, mm-hmm. I was hoping she would say, you're supposed to be the Christian. And what I wanted her to say was, how long are you going to defend the liar, the whoremonger, the cheat, the thief as a president? How long are you going to defend that? That's the question that I would have threw out.
I think that would have had shut it down.
Because you're supposed to be, you know, according to everything I read about you, Mike Pence, you're supposed to be an honorable man.
Honorable.
And how long are you going to follow behind a fool?
And I think sometimes, guys, that's a hard stance to be in, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in a position where, you know, like you said, you kind of know that this person is a piece of work,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you still got to maintain it for, you know, your own certain professional mm-hmm. process. So I think that's one of the things. It's important to keep your emotions in check. So that you can, you know, you can't, you know, never let people see you sweat. Number 8, right? Construct meaning out of complex situations. Debating will also help you learn how to construct meaning out of what we're usually talking about. Rather, not what we're usually talking about, but rather complex topics. Like from world peace to banning nuclear energy, taking the time to research the subject, right? And carefully constructing your points will help construct a better argument. So, just constructing meaning out of complex situations. We know that COVID is, you know, it's a beast. You know, one of the craziest things that we've experienced in our lifetime, you know, when it comes to disease control. And in that aspect, while we're sitting there and we're, you know, listening to a specific debate about that, you know, we're not just listening to it to see, you know, a person's point of view, but we're also listening to understand, you know, what do you guys plan to do about this? What is your next action? Okay, yeah, you know, people screwed up. People dropped the ball. From a professional level, we see a lot of people, you know, every now and then drop the ball or, you know, just lose at what they're doing, you know, or fail to, you know, execute effectively in any type of project, situation or whatever. But we've always been taught, and I don't know, as a professional, I've always been taught that, you know, accountability is one thing and solution is another. So once I identify that, you know, or hold myself accountable for that particular issue, now I want to identify a resolution to prevent it from happening again. So like having that ability to construct meaning out of that, it makes a difference. You know, finding solutions to a previous problem and compiling creative solutions and ideas are also key skills of a good debater. Also, as an entrepreneur, you have to understand, like, as entrepreneurs, we're starting businesses and building businesses to solve problems. That's really our goal. That's our primary goal, right? And without that, you know, if we can't construct meaning out of that, if we can't, you know, find a solution to a problem that we've had as an entrepreneur, how can we solve the problem of our customer? That makes a difference. Thinking outside the box and making the best of a bad situation are excellent traits to have. You have to have those. It will help you as an entrepreneur. Another skill set that we have to talk about, right, is presentation skills. You got to be able to present yourself. You know, you have to be able to have, I want to say, professional, effective presentation skills. It's like when you look at the debate of yesterday, right? You know, people weren't slouching and leaning like this and looking at people like this, and their body language was, they presented themselves in a confident, poised, and effective way, right? So presentation skills are critical parts of how others perceive you as an individual, and more importantly, as competition. So when how you present yourself, if you're presenting yourself to your opponent as if you are a easy win, they're going to treat you and talk to you like that. You know, they're going to engage in you in the way that they perceive you. You know, they always say perception is reality. So how an individual perceives you is their form of how they identify you in real life. You know, so you always have to have a certain way of presenting yourself that is effective. It's crucial. Consider what you are going to say. Speak slowly and clear enunciation. Enunciation. I like that. I put the emphasis on that. No. It will sound like old dirty bastard. It will make for better reasoning and clearer understanding of what you say. Good presentation skills will earn you instant respect. Instant respect for both the debating and in future situations. So, like, you know, that's one of the things that I'm a real stickler on. Like, even when I'm doing, like, PowerPoint presentations, which we do all the time, all day, every day, we do PowerPoint presentations. And how we present it, because here's the thing. If you're presenting to 400 people and you got a word misspelled or you got a sentence and it says, it's the thieves, and you sitting there trying to communicate that, it's funny, you don't catch it until you started reading off of the PowerPoint. Yep. And you'd be sitting there like, and you trying to read off of it and try to be effective with it because you have went like 5 slides in and everything's on point until you get to that point. And then you like, it. Guys, I've learned that the hard way. Like, I learned that the first, my first set of shows and my banner misspelled for the first. Was it the first half of this whole grindology process? I was sitting there like, I had to live with that thorn in my side about, because I just knew I had set that thing up. You know how you do things with graphic design, and presentation is everything when you do graphic design.
Even after somebody had told you before you did it that it was spelled wrong? Okay.
Leave me alone. So, anywho, but yeah, it was like one of those particular things. And as a graphic designer, you know, you are very, like, I deal with data all day. So I'm very particular on how things look, all the way from like my capital letters and my fonts and everything. I'm like OCD when it comes to those things. So, like, you have to identify the most effective way that you can present yourself. That's it. Point blank, period. You have to identify the best way to present yourself. Good presentation will earn you the respect. When you out here all willy-nilly, you know, getting, you know, and people tend to, you know, sometimes you don't need to judge a book by its cover, though. Sometimes, you know, you end up, and this, I've done this before, right? Have you ever, like, watched something and somebody did something, like, real stupid and you just shut it off, like, that was so dumb? Or said something stupid and they be like, really?
Absolutely.
You're a whole professional and you just said mom and them or something like that, and it's like,
that happens all the time. I'll say something and somebody in the room, I ain't gonna call their name, will say, you got a whole doctorate and you just let that come out your mouth.
she had to keep you in check.
She
like,
said, you got a whole doctorate and you just said those
degree.
Words. Right. You got a whole one.
Right.
Nobody in this room
does what?
We don't.
Who says you got a whole doctorate and you use those words? You don't know who says that? Oh, you looking? Oh, okay. Right, right.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But I, you know, whoever said it, I kind of agree. At your degree, you know, you don't be sitting here talking crazy. You a whole doctor. Now let's get to it. Let's talk about number 10 because we got two more to go, guys. Confidence boost. Good presentation skills will also help boost your confidence. And that is true. When you can present good, baby, I'm telling you, your confidence, you think you know you done arrived. You here. You bona fide. It helps you to shine, you know, at interviews or related events. It helps you to shine when you're giving a presentation and you know what you're talking about. And it's so major when you're in your element. That's the thing. You know, when you're trying to be something, and this is my sad moment for, you know, all my grinders out there. When you're trying to be something that you're not, you cannot articulate and present that thing well. I don't care what it is. You are who you are. You have the skill set for what you have the skill set for. You're called to do what you're called to do. If you try to do somebody else's stuff and you want to present that thing, it's going to be garbage. And I'm just like that. That is 100% true. It's because, guys, you have, and this is when I get into my real talk moment, but you have the resources, the talent, and the abilities that was given to you for a specific reason. It's not designed to do what you see someone else do that may look effortlessly. Like, I look at, like, everything that goes on in TTLO. Now, I got a technical hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I was going to say a cuss word. I don't know nothing about Twitcher, or Rich Around, none of those. I don't know how to, this little knobby thing, I know one knob, this knob right here. It turns me down and it turns me up. I'm not going to go over into these left five areas over here and try to turn off. That's all I know. This one knob. The one knob.
Oh, okay.
Now, I ain't going to ask. Don't ask me to do anything. That's a whole nother different knob. You get me in there, but this one right here, guys, that's all I know. And one of the things is the only way that you can effectively, when I'm in my zone, meaning that when I know what I'm talking about, when I know and I have the certain skill level or skill set for what I am presenting, I do it effortlessly. I do it without any problems. I do it like I do it in my sleep, you know, and that's basically how you have to, you know, get it helps build your confidence when you know. That's why it's important to have that skill to educate yourself. Without the education, without the ability, you lose the confidence, you know. And I feel like, you know, when I first started, you are so crazy. When I first started, I was pretty rough around the edges, right, Dr. Data? Because this was my first time. I can't even look at you seriously with this mask on. Is anybody going to see him in his mask?
I've been confused I'm still stuck on you and the one knob, but I'm back.
I got one knob.
All
I
need
got
is
one,
one knob.
And that's what I called it. What do you call it? What is this?
That's a fader.
Okay. I'll call it a knob because that's what you right. Hey.
We're gonna pray for Mike before the show is over.
I swear, guys, but I'm telling you, really, you learn how to effectively build off of presentation skills from the information and the skill set that you know. When you do that, it boosts your confidence. And that's one of the things as a debater. You have to have confidence. You have to know how to communicate with confidence. As an entrepreneur, you have to. Sometimes, guys, so real talk, it doesn't start off that way. It does not start off with, you know, the confidence that we're speaking. Sometimes we just want somebody to like us, anybody to like us, anybody to say that we're skillful, and we try to seek validation. But as you're getting, as you start to, you know, get more mature in your particular craft, as you start to become more knowledgeable in the particular area that you're presenting, it becomes better and better. It comes with time. Like, you know, the old folks say, keep living. And you'll get that, especially if you call to do it. But if not, your presentation is going to be a hot garbage. That's all I'm going to say, hot garbage. A polished overall presentation and a confident speaking manner will make you a memorable individual. So what you say and how you say it and how you present it will make people remember you. Remember, I was going to say remember. Jesus, remember you. And here's the thing, and this is one thing that, you know, and it's funny that the author says this, right, guys? Because when you think about it, right now, social media, we get remembered by stupid stuff, not the effective things that we present, because, you know, we farted on an aerosol can with a lighter behind it, and now it went viral. Like, all the stupid stuff goes viral. All the crazy stuff goes viral. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just supposed to let that go? Okay.
I mean, it was... I'm going to let it go. Like, okay, immediately, guys, during the debate, I was, you know, I'm looking at my social media, you know, timeline, as well as, you know, what's going on in the debate. Of course, we didn't talk about none of the particular. I didn't see any responses on the points as I seen a response on the fly. And then, like, I kicked it off. I know I did. Because, like, within 5 minutes of that fly sitting there, I was like, this fly. And I was like, mm-hmm. And it was, like, stating the obvious. It was just stating the obvious. Flies gravitate to crap. That's all I could say. But that was my post out of the whole thing. With it. And then when you woke up the morning, the fly had an interview.
The fly had an interview. The fly got its own Twitter page with like 90,000 followers.
Right.
It's got an Instagram page. It's got its own fundraising
right.
deal. And I don't know if y'all saw, did y'all see the, and I don't know if it was real or not. Was that a real picture with Joe Biden holding the fly swatter?
I don't know.
He had a fly swatter talking about give now. And people were like giving. People was on the thing. Was like, I sent $5 just because of the fly.
You know,
to Joe.
That is what just I'm saying, guys. When we say, like, here, when we're talking about debating, right, and, you know, and having a polished overall presentation and a confident speaking matter will help you become a memorable individual, and how we respond to that fly on that man's head. That is just letting you know where we have come to when it comes to substance in our lives. We have to sometimes turn off on social media, guys. We have to. And as I'm saying that, right, number 11 is being more socially conscious. Debating is a skill which requires any individual to be more politically and socially aware of current affairs, right? So you have to be aware of your surroundings. Like I said, we don't really care about all the stuff about the about COVID, the response of Roe versus Wade, the response of the social injustice. These are things that are like prominent in our lives right now, right? These are the things that are concerning. I think we're so burnt out from a day to day, guys, about this. We have no choice but to look and say squirrel, and seen that fly on that man's head and talked about it for like I think that's the trending thing for the debate of 2020. That and when Joe Biden told President Trump to shut up. I was like,
dude, would you shut up?
Right?
Now if he had just said shut the hell up, I think he would have got like 50,000 votes coming.
That would have, if he would have said hell.
Yeah, just shut the hell up. Just like, would you just shut the hell up?
Because
like,
it seemed like he wanted to say that.
Instead
of him saying hell, he kind of like waved
his hand.
Because
they done told Joe not to, you know, they wait because Joe cussed. Like, he cussed. Like, Obama had to stop Joe from cussing because Joe be out on the campaign trail, just let a couple of things fly out his mouth. That's why they had to, like, you know, like, try to rein Joe in, because Joe let some stuff fly.
Because he wanted them. And I was just like, okay, you know, it's just one of those things. We have to be socially conscious. That's one of the skill sets, you know, being more socially and politically aware is not only important while debating, but it will also ensure that you connect and relate better to others. Speaking of like your customers as an entrepreneur, you know, when you are more socially aware, more politically aware, then you can start building your brand around those particular things. It's a market. You know, it's one of those aspects and one of those tools of marketing is to know what is going on in your world. You know, and I know I think I watched the debate twice, right, babe? Twice. And then I shut it off. I'm like, that's all the news I got, because I don't watch a lot of news no more. Like, because it's the same thing. You know, child gets shot. Like, we got the baby that just got shot in South Shore, 10 years old. You know, it's these things that, one, to be honest, guys, I don't want to become numb to the things that are going on. I want to be aware. But outside of being aware, I want to be able to take action. I want to be able to do that. But if you're constantly seeing it on social media, if you're constantly seeing it on the news, and you're constantly seeing it on in these particular areas, it becomes normal. I was watching a movie. What was that movie we was watching? One of my children, they was watching this movie, and I forgot the name of it, guys. But it was about this young girl who wanted to win a dance contest. Yeah, they're trying to ban them. Yeah, Cuties. That's exactly the one. It was called Cuties. And that's what all the kids were saying, that it was soft porn, because you all in this little girl's groin. But no, here's the thing. You guys see
84L and everything, the flipping of the hair, you see, they make these girls older, mm-hmm. and everything, and the outfits that they wear, fishnets, everything else, everything is sexualized. But you're focused on cuties. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Not a thing. And the only thing is, y'all didn't even hear the real music because no one paid for the copyright to that music. Half that music is the stuff that we, you know, everybody listens to. I'm pretty sure that we got a band out for worship and praise, but y'all don't know what I
mean. Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So I know Texas filed a lawsuit, but it's the scripted at this point. It's the same thing you see on Lifetime.
Yeah.
Wherever
these coming on. Yeah. And when you think about those particular areas, but see, here's the thing, guys, because like, and I was one on that end, right, as we were talking about this particular issue, was that like we're looking at the 10-year-olds, right, and it's not like I'm looking at camera shots of this baby's crotch, and then you be sitting there and you're like,
but you look at a camera shot, but they'll do a full scan
Yeah, with the leg.
When they do their whole leg thing, and then they drop it down.
I just can't with this dude right here. Somebody pray for him.
They are your sexy Halloween girls.
He is cool.
Like, you know, whatever scene they're in, it's short. It's never. Like, the only time you only seen one praise dance that show has done.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
And that was almost out of their element of how they're gonna stop popping.
You know what? And that's crazy.
Liturgical.
Liturgical.
My kids were so gung ho what they thought the movie was about. They convinced me that it wasn't even what it was about. Like, I looked at the
You know, and when you understand, you do understand.
Like,
when you look at it, it has. It just, to be honest with you, though. And then it was also the. Yeah. View of that whole part.
You're a whole cheerleader.
Uh-huh. You know he was about to say, like, what? Right. But when I'm looking at it from the aspect of cheerleading, right? And then when you think about, like you said, the African American young, right, the young girls that have the dance crew that does the whatchamacallit.
The only difference is
it just made me
filmed it himself. He's not a professional. Whoever shot it can produce it.
But it's still the whole aspect.
They went to Sundance. So it has.
Yeah, it was a Sundance.
It had foundation.
It did have substance and foundation. And even when you started going, it was. And I had to get to that, you know, particular point, you know, because here it is. And this is one of the things that, you know, as we start talking about the being socially aware, we know what's going on in, you know, in our lives, you know. For us, we look at it as, you know, theater art, right? It's a substance. It's telling a story, right? But it's soft porn for a pedophile. I'm gonna throw something at this dude right here. Right, just close the show down, cause this dude over here talking about private dancer. Right, that's exactly what it was. Yes.
So, like,
yeah. Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Before she did,
right.
Everything is being scrutinized now. And yes, we have to take care of our girls, but at the same time, like, you know, don't make one thing, okay. Dancing for Dolls has been out 4+ years. It should have been cut off and everything else like that. And the fact that you're not even getting a good rendition of what dance they're doing. The hair whipping, and everything, the youngest, oldest one was 10 years old. So they were laying tracks in hair, or, you know, every now and then, like, you know, they have long flow hair. You put parents out of money. This is Mississippi, and everything else like that. The baby dolls had phony ponytails and everything else like that. So you always kind of sexualizing everything.
Yeah. And you can see that, you know, and that's one. I'm going to slap the hell out of you. I'm going to cuss him out because he is just. What? What? Oh, right. That's. back a Black Heat on my show.
Oh, I'm not still a camera. Okay,
good. I don't need Black Heat on my show. And he and Dr. Thomas, if you over here seeing him, if you would have seen him, why is we not putting the camera on this guy right here? Like this dude. Right, because he catching you off because you need to really put the camera on this dude.
Y'all do know we're still on the air, right? What y'all doing? Okay, just talk.
I just really want to hurt him right now. But guys, definitely, like, as we were talking about this, and it's a really good point. That's what that. He's down over the net. Now he's choking because he has issues. But guys, yes, it is so important to be socially conscious. We have to identify what's going on in our world so that we can be effective. And like you said, and which is the close of it, which is the last debating skill that we have to have. An expanded worldview. I cannot communicate that off of it. Would you stop it? Stop it. I cannot. Oh, my God. You know what? Pray for this dude right here because he is just.
That's my body roll. Body roll.
Right, is that you gonna mess around and bust a spleen trying to hold it in? Jesus Christ! Right, nah, that's what you get. What the? You know what? I don't even want to know.
I don't either. I don't know what that is.
I don't even want to know yet. We're gonna talk about this after the show.
Next caller.
But the last skill set, debating skill set that an entrepreneur should have is an expanded world view, right? Debating not only touches on political and social topics, it also helps individuals acquire a totally different worldview. And it's just like how we were just talking about this thing right now, like looking at how the world perceives, you know, these particular films like Cuties or like you said, the young girls with the dance group or Dancing for Dolls and all these particular things. Media has a way of desensitizing those things. So, like, you know, although it gives us the balance of looking at it a certain way, you know, we used to be like, when we used to grow up, we couldn't look at grown people in their face, let alone sit in their conversation. So when we look at it now in terms of like where they're saying, okay, yeah, I understand that this is art or this is a form of theater, or it also brings to, you know, like certain things. Cause like I was watching one about sex trafficking. Remember the one we was watching the other day, like it brings enlightenment to those particular issues that are going on in the world, but how we think about them and then how the world views them is so, you know, different. It varies, right? Debating means studying a topic, right, that we wouldn't normally consider studying, meaning they have the deeper meaning that you have to gain that deeper understanding, you know, of what society and the world thinks about certain things. And I know sometimes we don't, you know, the difference is sometimes we don't think or even care about what the world thinks. You know, it's really about all, you know, how we think about it. But as an entrepreneur, you have to think about your environment and what your the people that at least the people that you're trying to serve or the people that you're trying to help, what do they think about it? Yeah, everybody is so sensitive when we think about it. Comedians can't tell jokes anymore. You know, if you know anything that looks appropriate, anyone that has been affected by any particular thing is going to have an issue with it. So somebody is going to always have an issue with something. You know, somebody's going to always see something as wrong, and some people are going to see something as right. You know, people look at Kale, some people see a pedophile. Some people look at Kale, some people, you know, think of him, you know, as that. Some people, you know, look at Bill Cosby as a sex offender. Or who's the other dude? Harvey Weinstein. That, you know. Yeah, I think he is what he is, though, you know. Yeah, that's just, he is what he is. But it's like, we look at those particular things, and, you know, media sometimes just want to pull that card. They want to play that record and spin it so many times that, you know, when we see another child die, as long as it's not our child, we don't have to worry about it, or it doesn't bother us, you know. Sometimes we just look at these things, you know. No, I don't like waking up every morning and seeing another, you know, death or another shooting of a child or another, you know, mishandling of political power or, you know, public safety authorizations. None of that. I'm tired of looking at it. That's why I'm like, okay, you're not going to desensitize me. I'm not going to keep watching the news and hear the same thing. I'm going to get on. I'm going to see how much traffic it is right now and what the weather look like, and then I'm going to turn off. That's all I'm going to do. I ain't going to do no more. And I'm going to watch, like, I watched the debate. How many more debates do we have with the president? Is this going to be a virtual debate?
The one debate got canceled. Supposedly it's canceled because Trump don't want to do virtual. He don't want to do Zoom because he say, I don't want to do virtual because they can cut me off.
They,
you think?
What I would do.
You think?
Every time you get on mute.
Right. So no, he'll. Right.
And he's sitting there.
Right. Talking about something. And then, you know, I think. Yeah. And then you see him looking crazy on the thing.
Oh, that would be priceless.
Yeah.
That would be up there with the fly. Yep.
The fly will always be the champ. The fly got the whole.
The fly said he was just, you know, I was just hovering around.
Man,
and
I just around here chilling.
Smell,
man.
Like poop.
I thought this was real.
I thought the poop.
The fly said, I thought it was heaven. I thought I landed on the cloud.
Right. And then next thing you know, my homie's telling me I went viral.
He said, I thought it was cotton candy. I thought this was cotton candy. I thought it was at the carnival. I didn't know they said it was a circus, but
oh,
man.
Oh, my God, guys. All I got to say. Yeah, I'd have played anything to be that fly too, because he made history, you know. That's what we do. That's what we do. But guys, an expanded worldview also encourages us to be proud of our talents and achievements, in addition to be more appreciative of the opportunities that await them. Be more conscious of the world we live in and stand in good deed for the future. Even if you don't win, you know, you always got to debate. And that's one of the things that we want to close out with, guys. Like, we have to have, as professionals, we have to, right now is the perfect time to work on our skill sets, work on the things that helps take us to the next level. You know, whether it's starting our own small business or nonprofit or working, you know, to, you know, elevate ourselves or just be more better people, just better people, you know. Sometimes, you know, I like that. You don't have to have, a particular goal like starting a business or being an entrepreneur. Just sometimes we got to have these particular skill sets just to make us better people. And I feel like understanding and developing the skill of knowing how to effectively debate and how to have that poise and how to effectively articulate and how to communicate and how to educate and how I started sounding like Jesse Jackson and how to procreate to get the faith. But it's one of those things, guys, we have to develop. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about throughout this whole, you know, just the rest of the year. Let's talk about skills. Let's talk about bringing our skills to the levels that we need to get to. How do we do that? And one of them, guys, is to be an effective debater. It will help you be a better professional, a better entrepreneur, and a better person for the rest of your life. So that's been it for me, guys. This is Grindology, where we study all things professional, and we're going to kick this thing up to the next level. Do you know we got 3 more months until the new year? The year is almost gone, guys, so I'm just hoping that all the goals that you have set and everything that you have placed in your path from the last year, January 1, 2020, you got that list and you can go back and check. And I know Corona wasn't on that list. I know all the social injustices wasn't on that list. And us sitting at home teaching our kids virtually wasn't on that list. But check some of them things off. I know you did something. I know you did something. And we're going to talk about it the end of the year. But I love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting Grindology and TTLO. Until next week, peace. Thank you.